But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight ride.
Chris McMichael. Oh, I can sing again.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Bam. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. At least we got one win to talk about over the course of the entire week. It's still not good enough. 12:02, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. As I got you for 5 hours on this 5-hour midnight ride, taking you all the way to 5 a.m. and the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. Nico's still hanging around for a minute. And we'll be taking your calls for those 5 hours. And we get to focus on the lousy Mets more today. As the Yankees, thankfully, by the skin of their teeth and the hair of their chinny chin chin, they do get the final game in Texas. Maybe we don't have to fire Boone on the off day. As he showed some gumption out there on the mound, sticking with Bednar, we'll get to the Yankees and their victory. Is it just a one-off as they head home to take on the Houston Astros, or is it the beginning of something? We won't know until we see it. But for the New York Mets, tell me again about this pitching staff. Tell me one more time about how many innings they throw the starters and they didn't get one at the trade deadline. Right? That's the problem with the team, right? The pitching. They don't go deep enough. Montas sucks. Right? That's what the issue is with this pitch. I mean, it's not the fact that they almost got no hit by Gavin Williams. It's not the fact that the last 14 batters on Tuesday night went down meekly after falling behind 3-2. It's not the fact that they have, you know, they went from the second inning of the second game of the series all the way to the ninth inning and Juan Soto hitting a solo home run to avoid misery and embarrassment for the New York Mets. No, it's not the offense. It's those starting pitchers and those innings. This offense is awful right now. I mean, like I just said, 14 straight the night before. 14 straight. Batters didn't reach base. And they roll that into today against Gavin Williams, I'm not trying to knock Gavin Williams. He is a very fine pitcher. He is now 7-4 on the season. But to allow him to completely shut down this offense as, I mean, it's just, obviously when you're no hit, all the numbers are 0-4. But if you look at what Lindor has done, if you look at what Alonso has done outside of that first game, Brandon Nimmo is 0-10 with 7 strikeouts in the series. Yeah, he got 3 walks yesterday, but he's been terrible. Vientos, 0-4. Got a little line drive taken away from him in right field. But ultimately, I mean, just this offense right now, Mullins has hit the ball hard a couple times but has done nothing. You look at this team right now, and it's been the same issue the entire year. Everything else about this team, as they have now lost 8 of 9, everything else about this team, whether it was the bullpen for a stretch, which they obviously have fixed, and the bullpen pitched well in this series. The bullpen did its job in this series. The starting pitching pretty much did its job in this series. Clay Holmes the other day did his job. Going 5 innings. I know he only threw 75 pitches. I get that. But when you have the bullpen they have, and you've seen the track record of this starting pitching staff, and specifically Holmes, you know, taking him out after 5 good innings to get to this bullpen that is now loaded since the trade deadline, that's the manager managing with some urgency, a word we like to throw around here, myself included. I know Manaea gave up 5 runs in the 6th inning, but for the most part, this starting staff has not been great. It's not been lights out. Montas has particularly been terrible. Kodai Senga hasn't been great since coming back from the injury. But for the most part, on a nightly basis, this team continues to have games pitched well enough where if the offense is doing what it's supposed to do, they would be in a hell of a lot of a better position right now than Philadelphia lost last night, so it's still 2.5 back in the division. And let's be honest, they're almost as close to out of playoff spot as the Yankees are. to respond off of a 7-game winning streak with this losing 8 of 9 and watching the offense on a nightly basis continue to not come through with runners in scoring position, continue to be shut down meekly. I know there was a couple hit balls, and yeah, the Lindor double play, he hit that ball hard the other night, and a ball off the glove of Williams in this game earlier. But, I mean, you are like, you could throw it, you know, every one game you could say, oh, this guy was dealing, oh, this guy. Like, you can't continue to look at every single, you and listening to the post game, and I don't want to make this a Met Yankee thing, but, like, they are saying the same things that we crushed the Yankees for saying. They're talking about how good they are, how, you know, that, you know, they'll be fine. This is just a blip. I still have trust in the guys. And let me ask you this about the offense. And I hear a lot of Met fans talk about it because the names are nice, because they are the Fab Four, because they do have track records of coming through. Because last year, Lindor put the team on his back and carried them to the postseason. I get it. And Juan Soto, again, hits the big home run. And we're going to have a question today on whether or not you actually like the home run. And I know that sounds stupid, but sometimes you kind of, the idea of hitting rock bottom is always appealing to people. And the idea of the embarrassment of being no hit in this game, the idea that they would have to look the media, they'd have to listen to the fans who are booing throughout the entire game. Juan Soto hits another ground ball. The second, he's getting booed off the field. Pete Alonso ends the inning, booed off the field. Juan Soto is hitting 185 in his last 16 games. Pete Alonso is hitting 190. Lindor hitting 224. Brandon Nimmo hitting 210. You want to look at the problem with this team? That was called the Fab Four by the owner. The Fab Four. Nimmo's hitting 210. Alonso's hitting 190. Juan Soto is hitting 185. Lindor is hitting 220 over the last 16 games. Look no further. Don't tell me about the pitching staff. Don't tell me they missed out on a starter. Don't tell me it's time to call the kids up. Don't tell me Clay Holmes has to go to the bullpen. Don't tell me anything else than Francisco Lindor is hitting 220, Pete Alonso's hitting 190, Juan Soto's hitting 185, and Brandon Nimmo's hitting 210. That is the story. Yeah, Beatty's in a terrible slump. Yeah, Mullins hasn't come here and done anything. Yeah, Vientos hasn't done much. Alvarez, outside of the first handful of games, first back from being called up from AAA. Like, we get it. But that's what the team is built on. Think of the money that is right there. And we talk about the Yankees and their payroll and the Mets and the big contract to Juan Soto. How much money is Lindor making? How much money is Juan Soto? $50 million. How much? Pete Alonso is the highest paid first baseman in the sport this season. You want to talk about Steve Cohen? You want to talk about David Stearns and how, you know, he's got the plan for the pitching staff and he doesn't want to put a lot of money in it, and it's smart because pitchers get hurt. And he's not, and that's not wrong. That's absolutely true. And pitchers get hurt, and it's from year to year. And you don't want to invest all that money in guys who don't go deep into the game. Baseball's, evolving and not for the better. And the starting pitchers don't make the same kind of impact outside of maybe a postseason series. But over the course of 162, they throw 5 innings. They throw 4 innings. We're so quick to get to the bullpen. Bullpens are so important. You invest so much money and have so many guys who throw 99, 100 miles an hour out of your bullpen. You have lefties specialized. Like, it's a different sport. And so you don't want to invest money in long-term starting pitching. You don't invest money in free agency for a 30-year-old and give him 8 years like the Yankees gave Max Fried. And now they're looking at his last month, and they're wondering if that's what is going to look like for the next 8 seasons. Sure, I get it. It's real smart. Invest your money in stars. Invest your money in everyday players. Well, they have. They have. And the guys who they've invested the money in have had wildly inconsistent seasons at best, and right now are dying on the vine as the team is being no hit against Cleveland. They allow Cleveland Guardians to walk into the best home field advantage in the sport and take all three. A homestand, you lose 5 out of 6 to the Giants in Cleveland, who aren't terrible teams, but they are 500 teams. And the Mets have played better than almost any team in baseball outside before this homestand. of any team in the game at home, and they allow these two teams to come in here and take a series and sweep a series? And they get shut down from the second inning of the second game of the series all the way to the ninth inning of the third game? From the third inning Tuesday night to yesterday in the ninth, nothing. You want to fire Eric Chavez? I don't think it'll do anything, but I talked all yesterday morning about Aaron Boone and doing things to kind of spark the team. I don't know if firing Eric Chavez makes a difference. You heard the Mendoza talking after the game about conviction in the process, and he's some of these hitters are losing faith in the conviction of the process. I don't even know what was going on. And then I'm listening to the rest of the post game. And, you know, I don't know if he means they're losing conviction. It's more about losing the faith in the conviction. I'm like, Todd Zeal, what are you talking about? Like, I have no idea what they're talking about. They are saying the same things that we crushed the Yankees for saying. Crushed them. It sounds exactly the same. We'll be fine. We know how good we are. That has been the message from the Yankees, and we can't stomach it anymore as a fan base. Media is killing them for the messaging, blah, blah, blah. The Mets have the same messaging. We will be fine. We have too many good guys in this room. This will not continue. But with the Mets, because of last year's miraculous run, for some reason, we tend to accept that. We tend to believe that Juan Soto is so great that this can't continue. Meanwhile, this has been the entire year for Juan Soto. Are the numbers okay? Yeah, the numbers are good. He's a great player. He hasn't been dog crap from every at bat, but he's got 26 home runs now. 26 home runs. 20 of them are solo shots. 20 of 26. And the other six are two-run shots, not a single three-run shot or a grand slam. And yes, Evan, I got that from the podcast. Congratulations. They said it on the broadcast. I went back and listened. You said it too. 20 of 26 solo shots, including yesterday. These guys are not impacting the team. Even Pete Alonso, he has a great game, right? He hits the three-run home run on Monday night, gets them back into the game, sacrifice flies. He has an opportunity to win the game by putting the ball in play, and he strikes out. In the biggest of moments, this offense continues to fail. And then they get shut down at times. Completely just meek, terrible at bats. Now, do I believe what they say, much like I believe what the Yankees say? Yes, I do think they're too good for this to continue. Yes, I think Lindor's a hell of a baseball player. Who wouldn't? Yes, I think, you know, Juan Soto's a top five offensive player in the game. Pete Alonso has proven to be one of the better sluggers in all of baseball over the last 6 years, bar none. And Brandon Nimmo has times where when he's hot, he's excellent. And he's been a guy for them over the years. He's been, you know, a homegrown guy, signed the deal. He's been here. He's been good. So, I mean, I think this offense can be better. Vientos and what he did last year. Alvarez was the top prospect in all of baseball. Like, they have guys in that room that should be far better than this. But at what point after 115 games do you start wondering if they are going to be better than this? At what point do you assume the switch will just be flipped? This offense, and they didn't really address the offense. They got Mullins. At what point do we say we have seen who this offense is and it's not good enough? I mean, it's now, I know we're going to get on Juan Soto. I think it's being overblown, the level of you should have seen, if you watched the postgame, Mendoza's just like, yeah, the ball was over his head and then it hit the wall funny and he went after it. I don't know. Like, I didn't think that was that egregious. I know there's a lot of fans out there. I got a couple tweets. You got to kill Soto for, you know, running after that ball slow. I didn't think it was so much chasing the ball slow. I think he put no real urgency in his throw. He kind of just, you know, threw it in nice and easy. But that's what happens when you start losing. You focus. That becomes enlarged. The idea that he didn't sprint after a baseball, he didn't throw it in hard, and maybe a double was turned into a triple by his lackadaisical play. I don't even know if that's the case, to be totally honest with you. And that's not the problem, because we know who Juan Soto is. We know who he is. He is not the best defensive right fielder you've ever seen, and there may be times where he doesn't go full tilt out in the outfield. Join him, you know, add him to the list of the other 100 Major League Baseball players who fall right into that category. Now, none of them make $765 million, I'll grant you that. But that's not the problem. The problem is he's hitting 160 for the last 3 weeks. The problem is the Mets have lost 8 of 9, and despite a solo home run that did end the no-hit bid, and I do want to ask the Met fan here about that no-hit bid, because I think it's an interesting question, because in my mind, like, do you want the no-hitter and the embarrassment? And nobody wants to be no-hit. So clearly your first initial thought when Soto hits the home run is, all right, thankfully we didn't at least get no-hit. And I'm not sure what the embarrassment of a no-hitter would do. But it's not so much that, oh, the embarrassment. There is just, sometimes in baseball, there is a feeling of it can get no worse. There is a rock bottom. And there's only one way to go from rock bottom. And losing 4-1, despite it being a sweep and awful, doesn't feel like rock bottom necessarily. Getting no hit in this game would have felt like rock bottom. And maybe the embarrassment, maybe that sparks the team. So in my mind, as a fan, knowing if I'm at the game, I'm watching the game, you never want your team to be no hit. But if it were to happen, it's the same thing. Let's be totally honest. We get hung up on stuff and embarrassment and this and that. What's the difference between losing 4-1 or being no hit? That they talk about it on SportsCenter a little bit more? That it'll be, you know, every August 6th, oh, this, last year on August 6th, they were no-hit by Gavin. Like, does that really matter? What's the difference? It's a loss in the loss column. That's all that matters. But there is some sort of, like, rock-bottom nature to it where hopefully that could spark the team. Like, this is enough. We just got no hit. And instead, he hits the home run. Great. It is a meaningless home run. Don't let anybody tell you different. It saved them from some embarrassment. It saved them from a talking point. It saved them from being discussed more vigilantly on ESPN and MLB Network. And, you know, the highlights won't be shown and nobody celebrated. You didn't see the Cleveland Guardians celebrate in your infield. I get that. And that's why it's a question. Because nobody wants that. But at the same time, you kind of want that feeling of, oh, this is, it can't get any worse. There's only one way to go. So I'll ask you at 888-808-1019, how happy were you to see Juan Soto hit that home run? Because he looked pretty damn happy about it. He looked pretty damn happy about it. They looked pretty damn happy about it. Out in the dugout, they looked pretty happy that they at least didn't get no hit as they were losing 4-1 and getting swept and losing 8 of 9. And having an offense that literally could not get a hit for more than 35 batters consecutively. I don't know what this offense has to do, but it needs to change. And Juan Soto, I mean, this is, and this isn't a Yankee fan trying to go after Juan Soto. I don't care about that anymore. If you know how I feel about it, I want to root for Juan Soto. I want to root for the Mets. I'm annoyed at the Mets right now, believe it or not. I'm not sitting there happy that they're losing as well as the Yankees. Like, I really don't. And Juan Soto right now, yeah, you know, he's 3 for 10 in the series, hits the home run, scored a couple runs. I mean, you look at it and you go, well, hey, listen, Chris, look at the list of guys that you could get on over Juan Soto. Look at the, you know, 0 for 10 with 7 strikeouts from Nimmo. Look at what Lindor has done for the last whatever. Like, he was 3 for 10. He hit a home run. Like, why are we killing Juan Soto? Because he's supposed to be the guy who changes what this team is. Right? That's what we were told. That's what you, the Met fan, were feeling so good about in late December when he made that signing. It not only changed the discussion around New York baseball and who's Big Brother and all that secondary. But it changed who the Mets are. It changed the destination that the Mets are. It changed, you know, the excitement of the team. And we see it. The building is full. The excitement around this team. The home record up until this homestand. Like, it has changed it in many of the ancillary ways. Where it hasn't changed it is that he has uplifted this offense. In no way has Juan Soto impacted how this offense plays baseball. In no way. And they are scuffling, and they are just, you know, in an absolute funk. And maybe Monday morning or Saturday afternoon when I talk to you, this will have sparked the offense, and we will look back at that Juan Soto home run to avoid embarrassment of a no-hitter against the Cleveland Guardians. And we will look back at it and say, you idiot, you said it meant nothing, and look at how it turned out. Okay, I hope so. But ultimately, it's another in a long string of solo home runs that haven't helped this Met offense do what it needs to do and complement a pitching staff that they have put together with duct tape and a bunch of guys they have gotten the best of, which is supposed to be there just to give this offense a chance to win games. And the offense has not done its part all year long, all series long, all homestand long. And it continued yesterday. And I don't know if firing Chavez, which has been much talked about, would make a bit of difference. But at some point, like, I'm open to doing anything. I talked yesterday. I have been the biggest Boone defender on this station by far. And maybe on Earth. Maybe. And even I yesterday said, well, when it's like this, sometimes you might have to do something. I don't know what the Mets can do, but this offense needs to change immediately. Because they're going to take on the Milwaukee Brewers, who've been the best team in baseball now for 2 months. They're throwing good starting pitchers at you. And don't look now. I know it's only 2.5 games out of division, and Philadelphia, losing 8 of 9, and you're still only down 2.5 games. Philadelphia can't seem to figure out a way to put a stretch together either. But don't look now. You're 3 games behind the leading wild card. And you're, 2 games in front of a postseason spot? For a team that went out and spent $765 million on Juan Soto? This offense, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, and Brandon Nimmo need to do a hell of a lot better than what they're doing right now. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come and take your Met calls. We'll get to the Yankee victory, and it was a good one. And the manager did manage with some urgency, and I do think that he saved himself from the possibility of being fired in the off day. It doesn't change necessarily all that much about the team. Believe me, I'm not beating my chest going, "Hoo-hoo, it's all over." Like, that still had a game where they had opportunities to blow the game open. They didn't. But they did do a lot of things that you like and that you want to see from this team, and it shows you what they're capable of if they could ever put it together. We saw good defense. We saw nice double plays. We saw, putting pressure on the team by stealing bases and having balls thrown into the outfield that leads to runs. We saw, the ability to pinch hit lefty-righty, big home run from Goldschmidt, and then we saw the star of the game, Bednar, in the 9th, who is, without question in my mind, the new Yankee closer. So there's stuff to get to there. Will it be something they can build on, or is it just a win that avoided disaster in the meantime and kept them in the playoff hunt for just another day, only to have it lose as they head home to take on their nemesis, the Houston Astros? 888-808-1019. So we'll start with your Met calls. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to some football, and it sounds like both these offenses can't figure it out early in camp. And the only thing that concerns me more with the Jets is that I don't know if their quarterback is capable of competing passes. At least Russell Wilson, in his time, has, won a Super Bowl and been an excellent quarterback in this league. I don't know about Justin Fields, and it sounds like he can't complete a pass in practice. So I don't usually get overwhelmed with stuff about training camp, but with these two football teams, wouldn't it be nice to actually see some offense? And the idea that that has been a problem, Evan Neal hasn't transitioned well to guard, like, just once. Can we watch some, like, 2025 brand of football played at MetLife? Is that possible?
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
I did not think, I got to be honest, I did not think year one of this contract we would be, I mean, I guess maybe because, you know, sometimes people take time getting adjusted, but I did not think we would hear boos raining down on Juan Soto like this, probably ever. I mean, the shift in the mentality of the Met fan completely changed when Juan Soto signed. Like, it did something to almost every Met fan I know. It changed everything. It was like the final piece of Cohen's ownership. Like, this is, we are fully in the Cohen era. Now we have the young executive as well. We'll go out and outspend the Yankees and the Dodgers and whoever else. This is the biggest free agent in history, and he signed with us. He's one of the great players. We've known him in the division, blah, blah, blah. World Series hero in 19. And the idea that he spurred the Yankees to come here and the great player, and it's because he saw, whether this is true or not, I think the Met fan believed it, he saw the organization is better. The owner is better. The setup in the organization, it's built better than the Yankees, and it's built to win long-term better than the Yankees. And he recognized that. And yes, it cost money too, but we have that as well. We have the better foundation. We have the better franchise. We have more money. And it like completely shifted how the Met fan felt about their team, about the situation, about their place in this city. And that's secondary, but all of that. And now, as they are losing 8 of 9 after a 7-game winning streak, and he's hitting 160 and leaving the strike zone more than I've ever seen Juan Soto leave the strike zone, to have him getting boos rained down on him as he's grounding out the second base is, I just didn't think we would see that. And I'm not saying the Met fans don't. Listen, he deserves the boos. He's been bad right now. And yes, he hits the home run to make it 4-1 and avoid the no-hitter. But again, I ask you. And listen, inertly, nobody wants to see their team get no hit. But sometimes that feeling of rock bottom, if you're going to lose the game anyway, sometimes that feeling of rock bottom just, it's like, oh, well, they have to respond off of this, right? They have to get galvanized after the embarrassment of a no-hitter, right? They can't let this stand. And no one's in jeopardy of losing their job. You're not going to fire Mendoza. You understand where the team is. They're still in a playoff spot. And so maybe it could be this, oh, man, we just got swept and no-hit. Like, they've got to be pissed off. So I wonder if there's any Met fans out there. I know Evan was talking about this a little bit. I saw him tweet it too. I was thinking the same thing watching the game, you know, fast forwarding through it. I was watching it around 9 o'clock and I was thinking to myself, do you want to get no hit? Do you want to have that embarrassment in the building and just as a fan watching the game? Of course, you're rooting for your team to get a hit, maybe even rally. But is there a feeling of like, you want that rock bottom? And last night was as close to rock bottom as the Mets have hit this year. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tim in West Orange. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Big Mac. How are you doing this morning?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I love your show.
Thank you.
It gets me home whenever I drive home, so I love you listening to you. Before I get to my point, I'm a diehard Mets fan, and I'm glad Soto hit a home run today, but to be perfectly honest, I was kind of hoping they would have got no hit because it might have been coincidence, but the last time they got no hit, I believe, was 2015, and they went to the World Series that year. So I was kind of hoping maybe it would bring some magic.
So you were watching the game. You're watching that ninth inning, and you're hoping they get no hit.
I was – a little bit of me was hoping they got no hit because of that in 2015.
Yeah.
But the reason I called – I couldn't agree with you more. The pitching's been fine. The starters have done what they've had to, go 5 innings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And with the relievers they got, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
My options would be, I love Brandon Nimmo, but Brandon's got to, he's got to sit for a couple games. And whether they put Marte out there in left field, who hasn't been bad for them, I think that would work. But there's two players I believe that could spark some life into the team. One being Mauricio's got to play third base every day because he excites me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other player being, he's in the minors right now, and I would get him some reps in center field a lot, is Luis Angel Acuna, who I think can play center field every day and could bring some life to this team. I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. I don't know about Acuna so much. I don't think you're going to get him a bunch of reps in center field and feel confident playing him in center field. And honestly, I mean, he does bring some elements, some speed, but, you know, the defense he brings you is in the infield that you feel like that sparks you a little bit. And he hasn't been all that much of a hitter. I mean, it's not the... I don't see it right now. I wouldn't be overly concerned about him trying to be the guy and make a spark. I hear what you're saying. It's not something I'm just going to dismiss, but I don't think it's worth really thinking about or talking about, to be totally honest with you. We'll see what he is. But right now, I don't know if the role for him on this team is staring at me. Now, Mauricio, again, Beatty has been bad. Vientos, did he get a hit in the series? One hit in the series? He had a double. So, like, Vientos is still not being himself, although he's shown glimpses a little bit. Big grand slam in San Diego. But Mauricio hasn't really played. And I would have liked to see, I know righty-lefty, they're going kind of a platoon. We even saw the manager in a much discussed move, pinch-hitting Beatty for Vientos, which nobody liked. I mean, he has kind of taken that third base and done kind of the platoon lefty-righty thing. And with trying to get Vientos hot off the grand slam, you've seen mostly Beatty and Vientos. I think Mauricio absolutely should be playing a little bit more. And right now it's at the point where Beatty's really struggling. And why not give Mauricio some run? I agree. I'm surprised that we haven't seen more of Mauricio. I would play him more and try and get this team a spark because he's gotten some big hits too. Right? He's hitting some big home runs. He's hit some clutch home runs. He's tied a game with a big home run. He's performed well, and Beatty's just struggling. Now, defensively, I would probably say Beatty is the best of the three. At least that's how he's performed this year. I know he had the throwing error in this series, but I think he's been the best of the three. Mauricio's pretty good, though. I mean, Mauricio's not far behind, and then Vientos is definitely pulling up the rear. But I don't disagree. I would like to see more Mauricio than Beatty right now. And I was a big Beatty guy. I started the season saying Beatty should be the third baseman on this team. Second base, rather. Play him at second base a lot at the start of the season when you thought Vientos was obviously going to be your starting third baseman. And they were looking for that other role. I was like, I would have. And then Jeff McNeil, you know, started the year on the injured list. I was like, let's play him every day. I was a big Beatty guy. Let's see what he has. He's struggled. He's had a few hot weeks. Couple of big home runs, and he's shown the ability as well. Not the same as Mauricio. The talent doesn't jump off the page with Beatty the way it does with Mauricio, but Beatty's got opposite field easy power as well. I mean, he's got an opportunity to be a good player in this league. I'm not ready to give up on him, but he's struggling right now, and you got to play your best offensive players, and you got to see if Mauricio gives you a better chance. I don't disagree with you. Let's go to Vito and Wanto. What's up, Vito?
It's Peter. That's okay. Chris, how you doing?
Oh, good. How are you?
I agree everything you said, but I could care less if they were no hit or not yesterday. Yeah. My disgust was the game where they came back against Cleveland to tie it, and then they had two innings, the eighth and ninth inning, put that game away, and the big hitters were up. Like you said, Alonso, even Lindor, they did nothing.
Yep.
Right? They did they're not hitting the ball. Pitching, if you don't get hits and score runs, it doesn't matter who's pitching, right? The pitchers could give up two runs if you're losing 2-0, 2-1. And I also wanted to make a point about Beatty and Alvarez because you've been talking about it. To me, they're just, as far as I'm concerned, they're Triple-A players. They come up, they hit the ball all over the yard in Triple-A, come back up here, they can't do anything. I agree. Play Mauricio, see what you got. You don't know. I mean, give the guy a chance. It's got what could be worse. I mean,
well, you think Vientos is a AAA player?
No. Did I say Vientos? I meant Alvarez and Bates.
Oh, Alvarez. I'm sorry, Alvarez.
Because every time
I thought we were just talking. I thought we were talking about third base. Maybe you did, and I didn't hear you correctly. I apologize.
Yeah, but no.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they go down to AAA, and then they come. You know, they're hitting the ball all over the AAA, and then they come back up here and they can't do anything.
Yep.
I agree with you also about Mauricio and that last call. Play Mauricio. We don't know what he's got. Just play him at this point. Just play him.
Yeah, I don't. I don't disagree. I'm still. I am hung up, and I would think most people are like this. I have a tough time forgetting what I've already seen. I have a tough time just assuming things are flukes or, one-hand events. Like, Vientos was incredible last year. Vientos wasn't just, hey, you know what? He came up and had a nice little solid year, and he showed promise. And, you know, Vientos was a stud. And into the postseason, big moments, big hits. Home runs, like he shows opposite field power, and we still have seen that the grand slam in San Diego. Like I am shocked. And listen, sophomore slumps. I know he's played before last year, but still, like sophomore slumps happen, and it wasn't necessarily going to be a guaranteed just rocket ship where he was just going to be better than last year, and then next year better than this year, and then the year after that better than next year. Like, I understand that it's not a – sometimes this isn't just straight lines, and there are ups and downs. But, man, oh, man. Like, he's got a .368 slug. Jeff McNeil has an 80 – Jeff McNeil is slugging 80 points higher. How does Mark Vientos have a 360 slug? Like, this dude was a monster last year. So I want to see Mauricio play. You know, I think Beatty has an opportunity. But what we saw from Vientos last year, and I talked about it heading into the All-Star break, because he kind of got hot, hit a big home run before the All-Star break. And it was like, man, in the second half, I don't think there's a trade move or anything else that could be more effective to helping this team out than getting last year's Vientos back, and I still kind of want to chase that as much as I can, but we haven't seen it. He's not good defensively, and Mauricio has shown every bit the ability, at least, to be the same player we've gotten from Vientos. You see the same power. You see the same athleticism. More athleticism. You know, Vientos can't run. But, like, so you're seeing a guy who's better defensively with power just the same. Now, he hasn't done it at the same level where Vientos was hitting home run after home run last year, but, like, it's tough. It is not an easy thing. It's one of those things that the Met, you know, you're going to pride yourself on having a lot of young talent in some ways, and then you're also in the middle of sort of this juggling third base and juggling these three players where it's tough to play them all and get them hot, and it's tough to justify trying to get them hot while they struggle. Like, it's just, it's a difficult situation. Morris.
Hi. Yeah.
What's up, man? What's you okay? Up? What's up?
Yeah, I had a question.
Sure.
So you wake up tomorrow and you are the sole decision maker for the Mets.
Okay.
Do you change anything, or is it just a slump? Do you ride it out? What are you doing?
If I'm the sole decision maker of the Mets, I don't think there's much to do. I wouldn't be opposed to firing Chavez. I just don't. It's not that I want him fired, or that I think it would be, or that it's all his fault or something. But, like, and I typically don't. Like, if I'm going to do something, what else can they do? Other than what we're talking about now, where you're talking about who to play, like, and again, it's not on them. I don't blame Vientos as much as I'd like to see him better. As much as I'd like to see the same Vientos from last year, and as much as I'll tell you that would catapult this team as much as anything, I still look at the top three and then add Nimmo for four. I look at them and go, where are you? So, and I don't know what I can do to spark Juan Soto. I don't know what I can, like, again, and that's the thing. Like, it sounds silly. Juan Soto isn't performing because Chavez is his hitting coach. Or that would really, Juan Soto, who just signed $765 million contract, is going to be here for 15 years, full well knowing that, you know, Eric Chavez is not. because coaches don't last that long. But, like, so firing him is going to somehow shake up Juan Soto? It sounds silly, but I don't know what else to do. And you can't just sit here and do nothing because, again, I know it hasn't felt the same as the New York Yankees. And not to make it a Yankee Met thing, but the Yankee thing has felt, because it's been so long without a championship, because it's the same people running the thing, because it's the same manager and Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner and everything, and the epic, disastrous collapse they're on. And, you know, they were a loss away yesterday from being out of the postseason today. The Mets aren't that far off, but it's felt like the Bronx is burning, and it's kind of just felt like, well, the Mets are just struggling a little bit. And the truth is, yes, the Yankees, the only thing that separates them is the 7-game win streak. And that's not nothing. A 7-game win streak is clearly important and good and proves that this team is capable of it. But outside of that 7-game win streak, there's been no difference between these two teams since June. And if we're talking about making moves just to spark the Yankees, why aren't we talking about moves just to spark the Mets? Because this offense, quite honestly, has been as bad a unit for either of these teams that there is consistently all year. This has been a consistent issue for the New York Mets. This isn't, you know, the Mets were on a roll and then suddenly the offense has gone cold. The offense with runners in scoring position has been bad all year. Now, yeah, Juan Soto had a great June. He's not hit 160 every, you know, 16 games. Clearly, he's had a much better year than that. And Lindor started out hot, and even Alonso had one of the best starts of his career, if not the best start in April and May of his entire career, and was as clutch and as impactful as any player in baseball for the first 2 months of the year. But this team has consistently failed to hit with runners in scoring position. And right now, they're supposed to be carrying the team. In the dog days of August, when the bullpen gets tired and the rotation has been injured, like, this is where you expect your offense to carry you. And they are dragging them down. It is a major problem. So I don't know what you can do. If I ran the Mets today, what would I do? What could you do? You either do nothing and just say what they're saying, that, hey, we got too many good guys in this room. Eventually it's going to turn around. I have every bit the confidence that in this group that they're going to start hitting. Or you try and spark them with a move. And unfortunately for Eric Chavez, the only move is to fire him. So I don't know. I might give it, like, if they ever were to fall out of the postseason, same thing with the Yankees, like, that can't happen. You can't be on the outside looking in. Even with 48 games or 47 games or 45 games left to change that, still, there shouldn't be a single moment this year where either one of these teams are looking in, are outside looking in. It shouldn't be. And if that happens, then I think a change would have to happen. Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil?
Yeah, hi, Chris. Chris, I've been a fan a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm going back to, I saw the World Series in 69, and those teams they recruited towards the end with Clendenin and everybody. Prior to that, you had ugly Met stories. You had Mark Thrumberry. You had guys that had a lead of 7 runs going into the 8th inning and lost by 7 runs. Mm-hmm. This Met lineup, I don't know what happened. Someone must have hit someone in the head or they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe they have to shake things up. You can't go in there every day replacing one or two guys in the lineup. Okay, you get a hit to hit first today. You get the second, and it's not working. So yeah. I was just going to make the point that if it goes on like this, they're going to Milwaukee. That's an armed camp now. These guys are hitting like there's no tomorrow.
No, the Milwaukee's the best team in baseball right now.
Right. So even if the Mets pitcher has to limit them to 1 or 2 runs. The minute the other team gets a run, the Mets look like they're dead in the water. I just, it's not making any sense.
Yeah,
I leave you with that. No, hopefully we'll have it. A better tomorrow.
Let's hope, Phil. It is hard to make sense of this offense because I don't disagree with Mendoza that the team is better than this and that there are good hitters in there. And look, you know, have they hit into some bad luck? Some, but you can't. Like, Lindor hit the ball. I'm just watching the highlights of the game right now. Lindor hit a bullet up the middle, took off. It took off Gavin Williams' glove, but he was able to recover and make the play. And then the double play yesterday that he hit into, Lindor hit the ball very hard. And Pete Alonso had a good first game of the series. Big three-run home run to get them back into the game. Sacrifice fly, base hits. Like he, but in the biggest moment with a chance to win the game, he didn't do it. All he had to do was put the ball in play. He couldn't do it. And that's not to necessarily knock him. It's just pointing out that in these moments, the team in general has not come through. And it's been like this all year. This is not new to this slump. This is not new to this 8 out of 9. And it makes me laugh that we consistently hear about the pitching. And I take calls from Met fans talking about, oh, this guy stinks. They got to move this guy to the bullpen. Montas can't be in the rotation. Nobody goes more than 5 innings. Like, yeah, those are all problems. Those are all things you wish were better. Those are all things you'd like to tighten up and get better, but they do have a good bullpen who pitch well. You know, Rodgers gave up a couple of, you know, soft hit base hits that gave up the lead in the first the second game of the series. Or the first game of the series. I can't remember now. But I know Rodgers gave up a couple runs. And then, you know, Ryan Helsley gave up an unearned run in the extra inning game where it was, you know, the ball was thrown away. Outside of that, the bullpen was lights out. You know how good the bullpen can be now with the additions of the trade deadline. So they didn't go out and get a starter who can give them innings, but they added to the bullpen to mitigate the issue of the lack of innings. And I watched Manaea gave up 5 runs in the sixth, and these guys haven't been great, but the offense doesn't score any runs. And they go into these long stretches of nothing. Like, think of outside, like, and the 3-run home run is gifted to them. That's a double play that Rocchio just completely whiffs on and sets up the Alonso home run. That's a double play. They're out of the inning. And then the last 14 batters of Tuesday night game go down without a hit. 14. And then they get no hit through 25 outs. That is 39 consecutive. 39 consecutive outs without a hit. That can't happen. I don't care who it's against. John in Ronkonkoma. What's up, John?
Hey, C-Mac. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up?
So I've been a Mets fan forever. You know, I've been through it all. I've seen them win the 86 World Series. I've seen the ups and the downs.
Sure.
And I got to admit, today I was hoping for the no-hitter.
You were? For what? Just because you were mad at them or because you were looking for this, like, kind of rock-bottom feeling that I'm talking about?
A little of both. I'm so mad. I'm mad at them, the ups and the downs. I'm starting to actually hate this team because, you know, now – you know, we had everything ahead of us this year. We're a new team, Juan Soto, the buzz in the crowd. And then today, you know, there's hardly any sounds except booing.
Yeah,
you know?
And so. Thank you for the call, John. I'm up against the top. I apologize. The booing was loud. And the booing for Juan Soto is going to continue. There's no doubt he's got to start impacting the team. The home run's nice. But, yeah, I mean, I could kind of see, not so much because I hate the team, because I do understand that. And as a Yankee fan, like right now, who's happy with the team? Like you're just disgusted. Devin Williams makes you sick to your stomach. Aaron Boone, I know a lot of Yankee fans can't stand. Like when they start losing like this, it's tough to like the team. But that wouldn't be why I would rooting for it. There's just and again, I probably wouldn't. In heart of hearts, if it was happening to the Yankees, I wouldn't be rooting for a no-hitter. But if it happened, I would sell myself on the idea, oh, okay, this is rock bottom. And 4-1 and the Soto home run, it doesn't feel like rock bottom. It avoided the embarrassment, but it also avoided that feeling of, okay, it's got to get better than this. This is it. I got enough of this crap. Instead, they're celebrating the dugout at the end of the game. Him and Marte, you know, joking around, punching each other, having a good old time that they avoided a no-hitter. That's not how I would have wanted the feeling in the dugout to be after that game. And to be fair, that's just the two of them. And it was right after the home run. But still, little too happy to have a solo home run in the ninth to avoid being no hit.